So when I go into schools, I'm often asked by children, is this a personification? Is this a simile? That sort of thing, because they're learning about terms in class, and sometimes they can be quite confusing. So I thought I'd write a poem about terms, just to clarify for children what some of these literary terms are. And so this is a poem called Terms. The slam of the door, the stamp on the floor, that's onomatopoeia. When school bells chime just in time, that's rhyme. If the boy is as free as a bird in a tree, that's a simile. When the pug smiles at the Dalmatian, the wind sings in exultation, that's personification. When the windows smash to rubble, dad says, come here at the double. That's trouble. And I like to explore and experiment with different forms of poetry. I sometimes make up my own forms. I try to write poems in all the different forms. And I had great fun with this section of the book, which is all about fun with forms. And here is a poem called Skeltonic Verse, which I hadn't known about for a while, and not too long ago discovered. Skeltonic verse. Skeltonic verse is verse that's terse, with rhyming words like birds and herds, like curds and girds and surds and thirds. Keep words going and lines flowing till the rhymes you seek become quite weak. Then change the rhyme. You'll see in time they'll cease to chime, and that is when you switch again. Lines are stressed twice, sometimes thrice, and it's your choice, either short and sweet with a pronounced beat, or make it long with a rhythm strong like a lilting song. Try writing one. You'll have such fun. And this section of the book, I'm going to read the next poem from, is called Our World, and has to do with weather and mountains and streams and volcanoes and things like that. And this is called the Weather's Ball, and it's a ball like a dance, not a ball that you throw to each other. And so here we are, the Weather's Ball. Tornado tangled with thunder, lightning limbered with rain, hailstone partnered blizzard, gale high-stepped with hurricane. Fog went to the ball with drizzle, snow with her best friend sleet, wind waltzed away with cyclone, sunshine shimmered in with heat, storm took to the floor with warm front, monsoon was led by drought, tsunami came in with a huge fanfare, flash flood came in without. Typhoon and twister both arrived with tidal wave and squall, but dressed in a dazzling rainbow, young cloud eclipsed them all. Would you like to hear something really exciting? Yeah, great. Well, first I have to tell you what happened. It's like this, you see. The moon told the wind, and the wind told the sea. The sea told the trees, and the trees told me. What they said was so exciting, so amazing, and so true. Oh, but they said it was a secret. I'm so sorry, I can't tell you. Now here is one about a volcano. I have. I think there was a time when I was quite taken with volcanoes. I seem to have quite a few poems about volcanoes. And so this is one of them. It's called Indigestion. First, there was a little grumble, then a loud and powerful rumble. The mountains got a dreadful bellyache. It is shivering and it's shaking and it, in its agony, it's quaking and its body is vibrating fit to break. Then it swells up and it retches and suddenly it stretches, spewing jets of fire high into the air. Streams of magma, molten lava, like a skillful mountain master carver, etching patterns in the land like a plowshare. Then, like a babe sucking its dummy, when the fire in its tummy is ejected, it calmly goes to sleep. It's now free from indigestion, and there's just a small suggestion of a soft, contented sigh from way down deep. Do you know what the most dangerous animal in the world is? What do you think? Lion? No. Hippo? No, no. I think somebody's saying bear. How about, let's see, a rhino? That's quite dangerous, isn't it? Well, let me tell you what the most dangerous animal in the world is. The most dangerous animal in the world is not the cobra with its hood unfurled, not the bear, black, brown, or grizzly, Komodo with its lethal saliva drizzly. You'd think the black mamba with flickering tongue would be the most deadly. You'd be wrong. It's not the horn of the bad-tempered rhino you should fear most, nor the tiger's eye, no. Not the lazy gaze or the cunning smile of the saltwater crocodile. The elephant could flatten you in a fight. The hippo could kill you with just one bite. But much more dangerous than these is the tiny mosquito called Anopheles, who roams the world from Greenland to Australia and kills millions with malaria. She's worse than those with vicious claws, those who will crush you in their jaws. Luckily, she's the only one who you can squash before she bites you. Now, I have to explain the title of this next one, which is called More Lines About the Orc, because this is the second poem I've written about the orc. There was another poem in another book called The Orc. And so this is More Lines About the Orc. And it's especially for my husband. I like playing with words and puns and that sort of thing. And this is payback time for all those jokes of his I had to listen to. So More Lines About the Orc. I hear some sailors found the ark, when roasted, quite delectable. And so they ate an ark night and day, until the poor ark passed away, which I find unacceptable. I have a little grandson who's 4 years old. He's called Ethan. And when he was two, he had a phrase that he loved to say. And usually he'd say it to his granddad, because his granddad would say something like, okay, I think I'll have a slice of this cake. And Ethan would go, don't do it, granddad, don't do it. And he was always saying that to his granddad. So this is a poem I wrote, which is for Ethan, and it's called Don't Do It. Do not dress the llamas in pajamas. Do not put a shoe on the emu. It's the height of foolishness to put a rhino in a dress, and they certainly won't thank you if you do. Do not put a bracelet on the piglet. Don't put a pinafore on the old boar. And a hippo in a shirt will just wallow in the dirt, and you'll not be wearing that shirt anymore. take that silly airing off me gosling. Whoever heard of pants on elephants and high heels on a wild horse? I can think of nothing worse. It's preposterous and quite irrelevant. Do not put a top hat on the meerkat. Do not put that headgear on the deer. Socks and lions are not smart. They might bite you for a start. And hyenas don't need ribbons in their hair. Do not put those bloomers on the pumas. Do not put a tutu on the canoe. An Arctic fox in a cagoule will just look and feel a fool. And you'll no longer be a keeper in this zoo. And the last poem in this section is called Names. And it's a poem about, well, the idiosyncrasies of the English language. There is no brim on the cap of my knee, no keys for the locks in my hair. I looked for the pearls in the crown of my head, but didn't find a single one there. My calves will not grow up to be cows. You can't walk on the bridge of my nose. Though I tried, I could not make a box or a house with the nails on the tips of my toes. You won't get dates from the palms on my hands. My pupils do not go to school. No music will come from the drums in my ears or treasures from my chest as a rule. There are no legs on the mold on my arm, no fruits on the stem of my brain, and no one worships in the temple on my head. Who's in charge of this naming again?